Welcome to another episode of I Am Nano.
Putting the I in I Am Nano, I am your host, Irfani.
And I am your other host, Monica.
And welcome to our first episode of 2023.
First episode of season three, too.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Three seasons. Can you believe that ever since, I don't know, I didn't imagine we would get this far since the first time we started.
I know, right? I mean, it is easy to count the seasons because we started 2021 and that was season one.
That's true. So
basically, the years is like
that's very
one,
true.
Two, three.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And I think another announcement we have too is that we made the list of top 10 nanotech podcasts worldwide.
Yeah. And you know what? We were the last. No.
Yeah,
we were not the last.
We were the last. Exactly.
We're number four. Well, thank you. I mean, I wouldn't think that was possible. Again, I should think more positively, but yes, this is amazing.
Yes. We're amazing. Yes.
Yeah. We're number four.
And I will point out that the first top three are like government associated US ones too. So I think we're doing pretty good for us,
you know,
trying to
pat on the back. This is amazing.
Pat on the back. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Out of all things, you know, happy news that our hard work has really paid off.
Yeah, and I think like since the beginning, but I think our more recent Nano Life interviews and updates are, you know, getting quite popular. We're getting more people to listen and more people to stay on the podcast throughout the whole thing. That's what I've been noticing.
Like retention.
Yes. Yeah,
we're getting a high retention now.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Yeah. I mean, that makes our day. Well, it makes our year.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting more and more regular listeners, different IP addresses worldwide. It's not just the same me replay my own podcasts. Like, it's actually
and
taking
as much as our friends too.
Yes, exactly. So exciting.
Yeah, so exciting.
Big motivation to keep going.
Exactly. And I feel like this is something that we do for fun on the side, and it means something for us as well. But this is very, very meaningful and very exciting for us.
Yes. And it's science communication too, and it helps promote this exciting field of science, doing school, going into post-secondary, going into graduate school, all those different types of aspects that we do kind of speak about in the show, and then different career prospects as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, it was definitely hard to see where we're going to go with this, but now our hard work and all those long hours definitely is paid off.
Yes. And I mean, there are times when I can't speak for you, but I mean, for me, I'm not motivated to keep going. And especially as a grad student and sometimes as a postdoc, now as a postdoc, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
Consistent. And
because a lot of things go wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. And then even going through, you know, this very high level of education, we still make mistakes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And you know, every day is like, okay, I don't want to do this right now. I'm lazy, procrastinate. That's what I meant by like motivation. But sometimes it's like, yeah, you just do it. And then it ends up being like really, really fun. But in terms of mistakes that I make now, you know, they're not as silly as the ones that I have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I have, I know for sure I have wisened up at least a little bit in my end. Yeah. I don't know about you, Irfani.
No, I get that. I totally get that. I mean, yeah, definitely when I was a grad student, there were a lot of things that I did. Stupid mistakes I did. But I definitely won't be doing that again.
Yes.
You want to give an example of what you did that you definitely won't do again?
Oh man, yeah, I've always learned and remembered my mistakes. That's for sure is the main thing that you learn from them, and that you don't hurt anybody during the process, obviously. During referring back to our safety episodes, I've never been in that kind of situation. But so funny, this one time in undergrad, doing my undergraduate degree, I put pizza leftovers in the lab fridge instead of the food fridge.
Oh no.
So for those that are familiar with lab setting or not, basically you have a certain area where you eat, and that's you have usually a fridge is there, but that's very far off from where all the chemicals are. Yeah. And you have like chemicals are in a lab in a separate section, but somehow I ended up leftovers into the chemical fridge. And then that was a waste of food because clearly you cannot eat pizza or anything that's been in the chemical fridge.
Wait, wasn't there like a sign or something?
Oh, yeah. Did I read the sign? No. So now I know. And from that experience, I think at 19, 20 years old, I've learned that I need to read the signs.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I've always read signs since then. Yeah, lesson learned. Oh my gosh,
that's so funny. Oh my gosh.
You know, I guess I was very sleep deprived in the middle of exams, but that's not an excuse. But
No, I get that.
Don't do that. Don't mix chemicals with food.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I was lucky to not make that mistake because my lab and my office are very far away from each other.
Right. Yes.
That way, you know, I don't put my food near all the acid, not the acetone, but like all the hydrogen peroxide in the in the fridge.
But is there anything that you look back on now that was pretty out there or silly of you to make or funny?
I mean, okay, so for me, in terms of, you know, just as a grad student and learning in terms of doing research in academia, at least for the first few years in my grad studies, was just kind of itching to do experiments, just doing it one after another without really thinking it through. I don't know if you've experienced this before, but for me, I know that I did that a lot.
Right.
So what, I mean, this sounds really bad, but let me explain like what happened before. So you know how when you're doing an experiment, you have a plan, you formulate a hypothesis, and then sometimes the results don't come out as you expect it to.
Yes.
So when that happens, I'm like, okay, while I'm doing the experiment, I'm like rethinking about what could be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just end up doing the experiment without kind of revisiting the data that I just got. So the data looks different on the computer that you're doing the experiment, whereas you can further analyze it in your computer, right? And then in that way, then maybe you get some other kind of data. But then at the time, I was just itching, okay, maybe if I do this, this will be better. And then it went to like a cycle where I just kept on redoing something and changing it a little bit, but nothing improved.
Right.
And then what I should do instead is take a step back, but just like take my time, go through the data and confirm that the science is sound, and then make this adjustment as necessary. That saves a lot, that's more effective and saves a lot more time. So yeah, now when I don't get a good result, I literally like tell myself, okay, let's sit down, go through everything instead of kind of like just doing things in the lab and just completely changing everything. I've been told my supervisor once, like, sit down, think about it. Yes. I've been told that.
You should always sit down and think about it. I guess one of the things is sometimes you sit down and think about it like at the end of the day, or like some people do it at home and then they prep the next day for the experiments. That's one thing I learned somebody did, and that's how they managed to like finish on time type thing, which I think we should talk about because that's a point of discussion as well. But I know what you feel. I think I would say I'd have that advantage of having a master's degree where I learned that. And then during my PhD, I knew I needed to record, document, think about things, and process, and then do the next experiment. And I got very proficient in doing that.
Right.
But definitely there were some days during like the master's degree that I was like, I'm going to do three reactions today, especially at the beginning. Three reactions is a lot, because what that means is not just putting things together, put it in the round bottom flask and go, because this was like pure organic. It was also like, okay, well, the product, you have to purify your product after and analyze your product. So there's three different products that you have to purify after.
Very time consuming, it sounds.
Very time consuming. So you're there 14 hours a day. And then the thing is too, we didn't have a machine to do flash chromatography. Most labs don't, but I was very privileged during my PhD that they had this type of automatic combi flash. So basically doing a column, that's a very time consuming process. You can get very proficient at it, but still you have to separate all your different compounds through the silica gel, and you have to prep. You have to prep the silica gel as well. And then you have to clean up after yourself because somebody else uses the glassware, right? So that kind of being overzealous and maybe overambitious, so that eager energy is like, you have to kind of really be like, how efficient can I purify my product, get the yield, then do the calculations and then see how I can do better, right? Because then if you're overwhelmed, three reactions, you purify them, let's say all the next day, but you still have another three reactions to go. Like, it's just
I mean, I guess I can see where you're coming from in terms of like, oh, okay, maybe I can do all of them at the same time, and then we can get results better and compare at that time. But it's still a lot to do.
Because the thing is, you share the lab space with other people too, and if you take too long to clean your glassware or use up the space, like, that's not efficient, because then you're affecting other people, colleagues too, and then your teamwork's not good, and then your lab professor comes in and is like, why is this a mess? And it's like, I'm overwhelmed. Well, why did you overwhelm yourself? Totally understand that.
I get that. I think a lot of people can resonate with this too.
But it is, you have to take your time and process and make sure that, you know, your results are occurring the way, and then sometimes you have to repeat them too anyway, but making sure all the parameters are the same, like what was the temperature of the room or the humidity, sometimes that's an effect that you don't consider. I don't know, when you did your cell work, maybe that was something, and then you look back and you're like, why did the next day when it wasn't humid and it was cold out,
it doesn't even have to be different? It doesn't have to be even cell. I was working with CNTs and they were drying differently when it was like summer versus winter.
That's also a factor that you don't sometimes when you're doing two things too quickly.
I mean, theoretically, our labs are supposed to be relatively controlled, but there's only so much you can control.
There's only so much we can do.
I mean, on the lighter note, let's see what else is there that we are going to continue to do as grads? Well, not as grads, but as researchers.
What is something? We're on the other end now, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, for me, at least, one advice that was given early in my grad days is to check that the materials and the equipment that I'm using is good. And what I mean by that is make sure the material isn't expired or there's something. Check with the SDS, make sure it is how it's supposed to be. Because especially, I mean, chemicals stay in the lab for years, man.
Yes, especially with MCPBA, that's something that degrades over time and that you have to purify it. So sometimes it's at 75-78% purity and you have to purify it to 90%. So that's when people are doing oxidations. And so that's also one thing, like, okay, making sure that that's pure, making sure all my, like, it's all these different factors.
I mean, you try to control as best as you can, right?
Yes.
I mean, also like with equipments, I think equipment is one of those things that we definitely need to make sure, because I mean, sometimes equipments can be the last step of your process. Yes,
that's true. Or
if it's completely messed up and then it just ruins the whole entire thing.
Yes.
So you have to make sure that all of those, I mean, we can't control the humidity sometimes, you know, but whatever you can control, you try to make sure everything is exactly how you want them to be so that you can get the best data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's for me. How about you?
Yeah, I would agree. And I think some of the advice that I got too was, it's called research for a reason. You search and then you research. repeat. Obviously, don't do the exact same thing over and over again expecting a different result, because
do you know what that's called?
Don't fall to that, but you know, you tweak it here, tweak it there, get better and better, and don't expect like by the end of the week to have all the results for your master's or PhD thesis. Right.
It's called insanity if you repeat the same thing over and over again. I mean, I feel like that sometimes back then, but we grown better now. So, Alba, is there any other thing that you want to change or you want to keep doing for?
There's a lot of things that one of the main things would be that if you're in such a rush to finish and you just want to be like, oh, my PhD is a 3 or 4 year program, I want to be done in that 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you take an extra year, it's okay. I think that's one of the things I've realized.
That's a very good point.
It's okay to take a little bit more time. I think for me, I actually had a couple of two or three more terms of funding that I had access to. And I just rushed to finish because I'm like, you know, it's been 4 years. I want to be out.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't get me like that much better off anyway. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's so much more I could have done in my PhD thesis because I was actually really enjoying it by the end of it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have done an extra term. I could have done an extra mm-hmm. 2 terms. It wouldn't have hurt me in yeah. the long run anyway. So mm-hmm. I think not being in that rush to finish, mm-hmm. That's something that I've learned over time.
Yeah, you can't rush science sometimes.
You can't rush it. It's okay. Like, I mean, it's okay. 1 or 2 terms different.
Yeah, I mean, that's a difference of what, 4 to 8 months of your life?
Yeah, you know, it just goes by so fast anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So just enjoy it. But I did have a really good time during my PhD because I knew kind of what to do. Like, I knew how to access resources. Mm-hmm. I knew, okay, I also want to do some teaching and I also mm-hmm. want to get my certificate because that's what
yeah.
that my university offered. Like, I kind of knew a little bit more mm-hmm. to navigate the system, which helped a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, I guess the last thing that I wish I could have done is just maybe read a bit more papers, because we really get into the idea of, oh, we need to just focus on our research and then read papers that are just relevant to research. And it's not necessarily like the newer research, it's just trying to troubleshoot or get an explanation of what happened in our experiments. So I got in that habit, and I think I needed back then to just enjoy science as it is, you know, look at the cool stuff, which is what exactly we're doing now.
Yes. Someone recommended to, I think it was my PhD advisor, that is do a Friday night or Friday afternoon reaction. That's something that you don't think is going to work. Set it up for the weekend, check it in Monday morning and see if it did work. So it's kind of like being a little bit creative.
Yeah.
Just at the end of the week, because usually Friday night reactions don't work anyway. So you might as well try something new, which actually brings in the point that I don't know if you've read in Nature recently, there was a paper that came out that new science has become less and less disruptive over time.
Oh, no, I guess
so. There's like a little bit of a decline in innovation, probably due to, you know, funding mandates and all this.
Yeah.
So there's it's a complex ecosystem there.
Yeah.
But that's a really interesting paper. We'll drop in the description. But,
oh yeah, I want to read that actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes I just want to do like cool stuff. You know, I mean, it's like, you remember what Dr. Ben did with the donuts?
Just like, but learning about that too, and making it accessible to everybody.
I wish we can do more of that, but for now we're going to share the cool science with everybody. We're going to learn through other people's research, so that's why we're doing this here.
Continue the nano life and continue the lit updates. I think I would add to you that it's always good to read more papers. It's easy to fall out of the habit of following the latest research.
Yeah.
You know, especially if we're not doing the lit reviews, like our lit updates, our lit literature.
Yeah, we're learning so much.
We love that for us and for everyone else, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're helping everyone by doing lit updates. I think it's our little contribution because.
Yes. Yeah. And I hope everybody continues to enjoy all the cool science stuff that we're sharing, learns the good and the bad from our experiences from this episode.
And would also like to share some of their experiences. Drop us a link.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Buy us a coffee.
Yeah, we have that link up for you guys.
If it's not up by the time of this release, it'll be up in the next few weeks. Yes. So
all right,
I'll add one more tip that I learned. So depending on where people are geographically, sometimes their institutions don't give them access to the lit update papers that we're talking about or research papers. So one of the things you can do is contact the authors directly and ask for the manuscripts and the paper.
Right,
and usually people are more than happy to share the manuscripts with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're allowed to do that too.
Yes. And through ResearchGate as well, if you want to do that.
And then I think just contacting the author, they'll be more than happy.
Yeah, and then you can ask questions and build a rapport, build a relationship, build a network. I think that's keeping, like, people you met at conferences, connecting with them through Twitter, LinkedIn, or any types of forms of social media is very, very important. And I think I'm a more social person now, but there's like, I was social before too, but I didn't make the connection, like a concrete
Meaningful.
connection. It's just someone I met at a conference.
Oh, yeah.
And now
yeah.
I haven't seen them again, but I
oh,
wish
yeah.
I could go back and be like, oh, can I get your info? Can I connect with you somewhere else?
Well,
And that
I
kind of thing.
have some people's like cards, but
Yes.
it's just sitting in my drawer.
It's just sitting
So you have to
there,
make
and
the
now
effort.
they've forgotten. And it's like, by the
Yeah.
way, I met you at like whatever conference back
Yeah,
in
you have to follow
2018.
up.
Like, you know?
You have to follow up. You have to make that relationship.
Yes. One last thing, Irfani, is there a really silly thing that you've done in the lab? Like silly, like kind of like my lab fridge example that you want to share with us?
Let's see. I try to block those memories out, you know?
Oh,
So
okay. I see.
I think for me, I don't know. I don't know about silly. I think, I mean, this is really stupid. I know that this was like the first big issue that I had when I first started.
Yeah.
Because it just reflects off like how careless I was being. But again, this was related to an experiment. I think for me, it was using basically freezing and thawing, proteins, which is not good. Basically, it just denatures the enzyme because they're not supposed to go through freeze-thaw cycles. And I should have known this. I worked in labs before that we didn't do that. And for, I think, a good 2 or 3 weeks, we thought that the experiment wasn't working. And it was all because of that.
Oh,
and it's
my
something that
gosh.
I knew. I learned this before starting. But for some reason, it didn't register in my head.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's qualified as silly, but it's just, I feel stupid looking back about it.
But now that you shared it, now I know not to do that anymore. So do you know what I mean? So thank you for saying that, because now I know, okay, you can't just freeze and unfreeze proteins. It denatures them, right? So I learned from you.
Yeah. It's so stupid. We were stuck for 3 weeks because of that. And that, I just felt responsible because I was the one working on the experiment. Even though I consulted with like my postdoc, my supervisor, they don't know exactly what I did, like step by step.
Yeah.
So it was only me who could have figured that out. And
right.
I should have known that. Like, I really should have known that because I've worked with proteins and antibodies before.
It's one of those.
I just felt stupid when that happened. Yeah. Anyways.
But looking back now, it's like it happened and now you know.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I think we have a lot of, we could have gone for hours talking
I
about
think
this.
so too. If we were going like in depth, like, you know,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
oh,
We could have made a
this
list.
is my mistake this week or this
Oh,
month, you know. So.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. I think that is all that I know for today. Take care.
And stay curious.